Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Delighted to be here with you after the big Monday. It's kind of a quiet Tuesday in America. Is it? I don't know. I haven't read the news. I hope it's quiet. I know it's a cold Tuesday in most of America. It's freezing in a lot of the country. They got snow down in Houston today. So sorry if you're cold, but call. It'll warm you up. You'll feel warmer if you call. 888-318-7884. Second hour, Tim Staples will be here. We'll do Ask Me Anything second hour. First hour, you know you've said it. I wish I had a Catholic priest I could ask a question to. Well, that's what we've got this hour. Ask a priest. If you have a question appropriate for a Catholic priest and appropriate for the radio, you can call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Father, do I have you there with me?
Yes.
Okay. Director of Divine Worship. I'm sorry, Father,
for the Father Paul Keller.
Father, I'm sorry. You look like you froze to me, and I panicked. Father Paul Keller, director of the Diocese of, the Office of Divine Worship for the Diocese of Columbus, Ohio, who I think was just simply thinking, and I thought, oh my gosh, he's frozen. I'm sorry. Sorry, Father. Welcome.
Well, it's so cold here that I froze.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was discussing the weather stuff. I look up and I thought my screen had frozen. But you're cold. You're very cold there in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. And I have the heater running in my room because an extra heater because it's cold.
Yeah, like what's cold? Like below 50?
Yeah. Centigrade, it's like 6 out right now, I think, if I'm not mistaken,
plus the wind chill. It's 6, that's so cold, 6 is cold.
That's Fahrenheit, yeah.
All right, well, Father needs some calls to warm him up, so there's 3 lines open at the moment. That means 3 folks on the calls, because we got 6 lines here. You are welcome to fill one of those lines. You don't have to be Catholic. If you have a question you want to ask a Catholic priest, 888-318-7884. Is the director of the Office of Divine Worship, like what they in some places would be called liturgy office?
Yes, some places would call it that. But when I was asked what I wanted to call my office when the bishop hired me, I said Office of Divine Worship. Liturgy office, just, I don't know, doesn't sound like it covers really everything that we should be thinking about when it comes to what the church does. Divine worship. You know, liturgy, it's kind of, I don't know, sometimes it can sound squishy to me.
The Office of Divine Worship does sound more substantial. But now, as a priest, do you get better at it as you go? Like, do you look back as how you were as a celebrant, for example? I don't want to say 30 years ago, but I'm pretty sure 30 years ago you were a young priest. Do you feel like you're better at it now?
I do actually. I mean, I do think at times, boy, I wish I would have had this insight or this thought when I was younger. But I think that must happen in every walk of life. It certainly happens to me as a priest. I'd like to say that it probably happens to a lot of priests. It probably does, but I haven't heard. I've never really asked other priests about that. But yes, definitely true for me. I think very differently. And I'll tell you, even as director of the Office of Divine Worship, I can see things and do things better now than I did when I first took that job 2.5 years ago. So you learn a lot as you go along.
Yeah, we definitely benefited from that. And I think I told you this on the air, but I'll tell you again. To celebrate Mass on a cruise ship in a theater, it's difficult, and so just your manner of celebrating, I was so impressed with, because it felt like we were in church. It did not. There are all these distractions around you, and you managed to. I don't know what the gravitas or something that you had was very. That was very helpful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, on that point, Sai, one of the things that helps to do is when the priest is facing God or the ad orientem position, he doesn't feel like he has to play to an audience. And so that certainly did help when I was celebrating Mass for the priest.
Oh, that's very interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. But I'll tell you, Father, even from the entrance, there's just something about the way you started. Like, this is Mass. It was no playing around. It was, this is Mass. And it was helpful in an environment that was not exactly conducive. You know, it's like,
true enough.
It was a little odd for it. But, you know, a cruise ship theater, I suppose, good as anywhere else if you can't be in church. But let's go to the phones. Two lines open now, 888-318-7884. Mark, up the road from us in Escondido, California, listening on JP2 Catholic Radio. Hello, Mark. Welcome.
Hello, Si. Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
I know you, Mark. Did I see you the other night, yes. Mark?
Yes, sir. At St. John the Baptist in Encinitas.
Yeah, Father, I gave a talk the other night at St. John the Baptist, and Mark was there. I know Mark's been on the show before. Well, very nice to hear from you again. Mark, go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much. So my question is for Father, what advice can you give to me to not to fall into the sin of envy? Especially now, I'm feeling very discouraged. Certain things aren't going my way. Certain friends have certain things that I want, but I don't have. So is there what kind of advice you can give me?
Sure. Sure. Thank you for that question, Mark. I didn't mean question mark, but question comma mark. It's a little fun there, Mark, with your name. Thank you. Envy can be difficult for anybody, really. And let me start by saying I think we need to distinguish between a couple different kinds of envy. There's the envy where I see somebody has something and I want it, and then there's a worse kind of envy, if you will, where I see something someone has, I want it, I know I can't have it, and I don't even want him to have it or her to have it. And that's the envy of the devil. He cannot have what we have. Which is the eternal salvation, life with God. He gave that up. He's rebelled against God. But he doesn't even want us to have it. And so he goes after us to try to make us fall, tempt us to fall. So one of the antidotes, I think, for envy of any sort, but the kind that you seem to be describing, which is not the kind where you don't want someone else to have the good. But even either way is to thank God for the goods that you have. This is what happens to many of us, maybe all of us, is that we forget what God has already given us. And therefore, and we take it so for granted that we don't even thank him for it. There's a beautiful morning offering that I pray, which was actually a French morning offering. It's not I don't think it's the same as the one that many people pray in the United States. But it talks about being grateful for every single benefit that God has given. That's one of the lines, is thanking God for all the benefits he's given me. When you think about it, that starts with life itself. The fact that you are alive is a gift from God. He loves you. He wants you to be in union with him. He's given you whatever it is you have, including the crosses that are particular to you and not to anyone else. Yes, even those we have to be thankful for. But there are a whole host of things for which we should be grateful, including my health or the small little blessings that we can easily take for granted, part of which, I look out the window and see a beautiful sunrise or sunset, and to thank God for those, to thank God that I can see, or the other human gifts that I've been given, natural bodily gifts and so forth. So my counsel to you, Mark, would be to go into a spirit of and a habit of, develop a habit of thanking God, and that will drive the envy away. At least it will be a good start at driving away, because the good replaces the bad. Does that make sense, or does that think you can do that?
Yes, it does make sense. I appreciate it, Father.
No, well, Mark, thank you very much. I'll tell you what, I'd like to give Mark I don't know, we probably already gave him most of our books if he was on the game show, but how about the big book of Catholic Answers, the new book? Because Mark, it wasn't out when Mark was here. Mark, hang on, we'll get an address and we'll send it to you. And if you haven't gotten your copy of the big book of Catholic Answers, you can learn more about your faith, and it's very easy. Just pick one question and answer. Each day, you go 250 days and get questions and answers. You'll finish the great book well before the end of the year. Just head on over to shop.catholic.com. Use the promo code BIGBOOK and get the new Big Book of Catholic Answers at 25% off right now at shop.catholic.com. Once again, use the promo code BIGBOOK and get the Big Book of Catholic Answers 25% off at shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live. Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilina with a few words about St. Maximus the Confessor. The emperor wanted to compromise doctrine in order to make peace with heretics. It was all about politics, but Maximus the Confessor dared to oppose him and would not back down. For this, he was charged with treason and had his tongue and right hand cut off so that he could not speak or write against the emperor. His silence resounded everywhere, and truth prevailed.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest, director of the Office of Divine Worship in the Diocese of Columbus, Ohio, where it is currently 6 degrees and plummeting. And we're all awful glad to have Father with us. He was the chaplain on our recent, not too recent, but last year, Catholic Answers cruise, and we had an absolutely great time. And if you've got a question you've been saying to yourself, I wish I had a Catholic priest to ask that question of, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I'm going to Mary's call next, Father, but I have to ask you something.
Sure.
What do you think of my shirt? Do you think I have a good shirt on today?
I thought that was a jacket. The corduroy thing is a shirt? I thought it was a jacket.
I tried so hard to wear a good, nice, fancy shirt today.
And then, that's fancy? I mean, yes, it's fancy.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying. Oh, man, you messed me up. All right, we're going to Mary. I'll tell you why. Some of those listening know why I asked you that question, but I'll tell you why after we talk to Mary in Alderston, West Virginia. I hope I got the town right. Is that right? Alderston, Mary?
Yes, it is. That's correct.
Well, we're glad you're here, Mary. Go ahead with your question for Father Paul Jerome Keller.
Okay. Angels have free will, like humans. So is it possible for Satan to repent and be redeemed?
Very good question, Mary. Thank you. Angels have free will, but there's a difference. Once an angel decides something, it cannot undecide. That's because of the way they're created. They're pure spirits. And so once they've set their mind on something, it's there in perpetuity. Angels don't change. You know, we can change, but do you know why we can change, Mary? Because we're in time, because we're in space. We're in time and space. We have bodies, and with these bodies, we can go in one direction or another direction. We don't like to go to north, so we'll go to south. We don't like to be thin, so we put on some weight. We don't like to be heavy, so we take it off. We can change our minds. We can say, I love God. I think I don't want to go to church today. We can do all kinds of things because we are material beings. And then this is, you know, this is a couple lectures of philosophy unto itself, but I'm trying to distill this into just a few lines. Unlike human beings, pure spirits, that is to say angels, don't have the ability to change their mind because there's nothing to change. They don't live in space. They don't have things to change. So once an angel makes up its mind to love God, it will always love God. And once an angel makes up its mind to hate God, it will always hate God. And that's why Satan, as an angel, as you pointed out very well, who rejected God, will never be able to repent. He can't. He's unable to change his mind. And that's a function of being a pure spirit. So we have this blessing in a certain sense of being able to change. It's a blessing and a curse, right? There are many days when I'm being very good that I wish I could never change. And then I'll just keep stay being good. But inevitably, something will cross my path, and I will be distracted and not stay as good as I had wished, and so forth. Does that make sense, Mary?
It does. So I'm trying to understand how their free will works then. I mean,
are you married or single?
At the beginning, and then they're done?
Or? Are you married or single?
I'm single.
You're single. Okay. Well, let's pretend you're married. If you got married, you make a decision to stay with one man in perpetuity, right? You don't change. Even if the thought came in, which would be a temptation, which angels don't experience, you wouldn't, right? You've made a decision and you stick with it. So in that sense, you still have free will, but we misunderstand free will to mean I can just do anything I want whenever I want. That's not how free will actually works. It's a distortion of the free will. When I choose, the free will is meant to choose the good. And so when I choose the good, I should stay there. That's the purpose of the free will. Unfortunately, for the angels who chose against it, they don't have an option of getting out of that choice. They married themselves. Okay. Satan married himself to hating God, if you will.
Okay. Thank you.
Mary, thank you. Thanks very much for the call. The number is 888-318-7884. Lots of folks on the line. Now, does Stephen want me to read his question? Is that what he'd like? Stephen's in Michigan listening on Ave Maria Radio, and he says he's on the road, but would like the host to read his question. Okay, so I'll read it, and then we'll come to you, Stephen, if we need a clarification. Stephen asks this: I have a Catholic friend, and we go to daily Mass together. My friend is taking classes at Protestant Global Outreach on prayer for healing. What is your opinion about this? Is this okay?
I don't know what Global Protestant Outreach is. I have no idea what Protestant Global Outreach is. And that would be something that I'd want to look at before I could actually make a determination.
Oh, yeah.
I can try to do a search here for it.
I don't know what I have not heard of it, Father, so I can't be helpful to you. So I assume that means that there would be Protestant, for example, Bible studies that you or studies of prayer and healing that you would not object to. So it's a prudential matter.
Right.
Is that
apparently this is an or international organization that equips people for supporting. For helping others, I guess. I'm not really sure. But it really depends. Now, see, here's the thing, though. What I can say, whether I know anything about Protestant Global Outreach or not, is this. And that is that what is it that we're asking God for when we are we're taking a class on how to pray for healing? Sometimes classes of that nature or lectures or talks seem to indicate that we can tell God what to do, or that we are somehow in a position to manipulate God or force his hand, or that we all we have to do is claim a healing power. And I think that's a misinterpretation of the scriptures. God does give gifts. St. Paul is very clear about this. God does give some the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of knowing things that other people cannot know. All of those things are gifts from God, given at his will, given as the Holy Spirit wishes to distribute them. And should we pray that others be healed? Absolutely. Jesus came to heal, but sometimes I have run into people who act like healing is something that God, a physical healing for this particular ailment is something God owes the person needing healing, or owes the person praying for healing, for another person. And that can be difficult. So that could be Catholic, that could be Protestant. I can say that much about it. But I would say continue to draw closer to the Catholic Church. Draw your friend to go to the Catholic Church. It didn't say whether your friend is Catholic or not. Just that he's
no.
Going
it does say it does. Father, it says I have a Catholic friend. Yeah.
Oh, Catholic friend. Okay. Sorry. I'm feeling iffy about this. Because I don't know what the teaching is.
Stephen, we're going to leave it there. I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you very much for the call. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest. It's Ask a Priest today on Catholic Answers Live. Your call is welcome, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884. Yesterday, Father Carla Broussard was on, and a guy called up, a perfectly nice guy. He wasn't being mean. He just said he liked Carlo's shirt and did not like my shirt. And I couldn't understand. It was just a blue shirt, you know. And then Darren said, "Well, it's kind of boring. It's kind of a boring shirt." So I was trying, which I found. Thanks, Darren. Thanks for helping me get through the show. But I tried to wear something that's a little more interesting today. That's what this is supposed to be, more interesting. And then you didn't even know it was a shirt. You're like, apparently I'm not very good at dressing. I know I have a lot of problems. I didn't know that was one of my problems, was that I'm not good at dressing myself.
Let's not get carried away, Si. It's like one shirt over maybe two shirts.
I've only tried twice this week, so I'm 0 for 2, Father. You see where there seems to be kind of a theme developing?
All right. 3 days to go.
You're so positive. I appreciate that positive energy. Creighton is in Council Bluff, Iowa, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Creighton, welcome back. We spoke with you recently.
Yeah, we spoke yesterday.
Yesterday, okay.
I really appreciated Dr. Broussard's answer yesterday. So I took the initiative and the leap of faith to go talk to a priest here in town. I'm actually on my way to daily mass tonight.
Praise God.
I'm going to go to RCIA starting Sunday afternoon. I just wanted to ask, what's the best way for me to break away from my church that I'm actually a member of, my Lutheran church, my LCMS church?
Great question. Thank you for calling, Creighton. And, let me ask you this first before I answer. What kind of a relationship do you have with your pastor in the Lutheran pastor?
They are very, very good friends of mine. They've been there for me through some very tough times, and that was one of the main reasons why I haven't left the church, but I just feel like I have to answer God no matter what.
Right, and that's correct, and you're on the right path, Creighton. I can tell you that. So here's what I would counsel. I think you should have a talk with your with the Lutheran pastor, your friend, and tell him what is going on in your life and what you are planning to do, that you hope you can still keep the friendship, that you would like to be friends, and I suspect that he would if he's become a good friend of yours. but that God is calling you to do this and you need to be obedient to God. And I think if you approach it from the level of friendship and trust in the friendship and have that conversation based on friendship, that you will be very successful. And it will be very freeing for you, because you won't feel like you have to be kind of slouching around hiding or something, or as if you're being duplicitous, but just be forthright with him and tell him, this is it. I'm going to be Catholic. I'm not going to come to Lutheran services anymore.
Okay. I really
What do you think of that?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really think that he'll be accepting of that. I mean, they really think highly of me, and they've always been there for me, and we're really close, you know, with both of my pastors at that church. And I think they will understand, and I think they'll be there for me no matter what.
Creighton, sure. So grateful for the call. Will you call sometime again when Dr. Broussard is on? I think he would love to talk to you. I can't get an answer from you, though, because I got to go to the break. Right back with more Catholic Answers Live. Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whyweearecatholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Paul Jerome Keller, our guest, and it's Ask a Priest this hour. Next hour, ask me anything. If you have a question you'd like to ask a Catholic priest, and as you can tell from our previous caller, you don't have to currently be Catholic in order to ask your question. You don't have to be a believer of any sort. Father's happy to talk with you about the Catholic faith, whatever position you find yourself in. 888-318-7884. Going down to Valrico, Florida now. George in Florida, watching on YouTube. Glad, George, is it cold down there too?
It's getting there.
Is it really?
For sure.
Really cold in Florida?
Oh, yeah. It's cold for us.
Oh, so it's like cold for us. It's like it's getting into the 40s or something. All right.
That's right.
Well, welcome, George. Go ahead with your question for Father.
All right. Thank you. So I have an older sister who's been estranged from her adult daughter for about 10 years. And she acknowledges it's something that she crossed a boundary and caused. But she has apologized 7 ways from Sunday trying to rectify this relationship. And it is just tearing her apart. She calls me for counseling. I don't really feel equipped to give her the best advice. And I'm very concerned with her. with her well-being because of this. She's been kept from her grandchildren. She was an awesome mother to this girl. She's an awesome grandmother. She loves these people with all her heart. But she's facing a situation where her daughter just will not forgive her for the boundary she crossed. And I don't know what to tell her to do.
Well, thank you for calling, George. I'm not going to ask on air what the boundary was. If we were in a private conversation, that's something we could talk about. But regardless of what the boundary was, I'm going to say something that is probably going to sound counterintuitive. If your sister were sitting here, well, I would tell her, let it go. Put it in our Lord's hands. I don't doubt that she's tried to put it in our Lord's hands. But at this point, to continue to seek to make it happen, she's done everything, it sounds to me, from judging from what you've told me, it sounds like she's done everything that she possibly can to make amends. She's apologized, she's asked forgiveness, and so forth and so on. Having done that, and probably multiple times, judged on what you're saying, based on what you're saying, the thing to do now is to surrender it to our Lord, to surrender it to Jesus, and to even go so far as to say, Lord, if I die before my, my phone is acting up here.
Oh, we can hear you though. Fine. We can hear you fine.
Okay. The video.
Don't worry. Yeah, the video's out.
If she has to be able to say in a certain sense in her heart, Lord, if I go to my death without this, without ever being able to have this reconciliation the way I would like to have it, so be it. If that is what you permit, I am willing to surrender to that. I am willing to undergo the pain, the cross. I'm willing to embrace this cross of not being able to see my grandchildren, of not experiencing a beautiful reconciliation with my daughter, of not being able to have the kinds of conversations I wish I could have, and so forth and so on. Because right now, your sister is, in a certain sense, being held hostage to her own desire, her, if I can put it this way, her over-attachment to wanting things to be right. They're not right, and she can't change that. The only thing we can do, and this is true for so many people listening, I suspect, as well, There are certain relationships that are broken either because we did something or someone else did something. And it's just, it is the way it is for the moment. What we need to do is put all of these people and the situations in the hands of Jesus and let it go. We cannot fix them, but Jesus can. Just to let it, and not even say, Jesus, fix it this way. No, Don't do it that way. Jesus, I give it to you. If it doesn't fix, it's in your hands. You take care of it. I surrender it to you. That's my counsel.
Okay. One follow-up question. Would that mean, on her part, total separation? Because when Christmas came along this past year, she has always sent Christmas presents to her grandchildren through all these years. And birthday presents, and she called me and said she's done doing that. And I may have erroneously counseled her. I said, I would still send those gifts to your grandchildren so that they know someday you've always been thinking of them. Was that the wrong advice? Should she stop the gifts and everything at this point?
Not necessarily. I don't know. Are the children getting the gifts? Maybe the daughter is upset they're not even getting the gifts.
That could be the case, Father. I don't know.
Yeah. That I don't know how to respond to it because, yeah, so much depends. But maybe scale it back, pull back, because that could be another form of trying to control the situation. There are a lot of situations in life we simply cannot control. We wish we could. We wish they'd be different, but they're not. And so I don't know what to say about the Christmas presents, but I can say Everything else has to be let go of and put in our Lord's hands. As hard as that is, it's the hardest thing to do, I know.
George, I'd like to send you a book that we have, I think that you will enjoy, and maybe your sister will as well, I don't know, but I always give it to folks in difficult situations because it's on the words of Jesus. It's called Secrets from Heaven. It's about the parables and sayings of Jesus, and if you'd like it, all you have to do is hang on the line and we'll send it to you. George's call just really puts me in the mind of, I've heard several even seen it in print, seen articles, and heard several people talk about this epidemic of young people cutting their parents off. And some of it has to do with therapists, these therapists who think I don't know what they think they're doing, but they're counseling young people, just cut your parents off, just cut them out of your life. And it's, to me, it's cruel. It's just a cruel practice.
Right.
And some of these kids are going to wake up one day and go, I never should have listened to that therapist. It was the stupidest thing I could have done.
Well, there are a lot of people at Thanksgiving who didn't invite other people, family members over because they couldn't agree, because of a disagreement, political disagreement. Yeah. But the thing, it also happens because of religious disagreements, not just religious, but really moral, simple moral issues.
Right.
They don't have to even involve religion necessarily, just natural moral issues.
Yeah. That honor your father and mother thing is very serious command.
Yes.
And I realize, and I know, Father, that there are people who've suffered horrible abuse from their parents. There are situations where you just have to stay away from all that, all of those caveats. But, your parents are imperfect and made mistakes. Come on.
Right. I think there's nothing better than a reconciliation when it's possible, and that we should always hope for that. Yeah. But also, sometimes we have to let it go, and that which is so, so painful. I am well aware of that.
Let's go to New Jersey. Helena
okay.
is in New Jersey listening on Domestic Church Media. We're glad you're here, Helena. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Okay, so talking to my daughter the other day, and her childhood friend and her are very close, but her childhood friend has a lot of poor self-esteem, and I'm kind of following off one of the first caller's questions about envy. So she has very poor self-esteem, and she kind of let herself go, and she feels like, well, what's the point? I'm ugly anyway. And she wanted to get a nose job, but she grew up Catholic, K through 12 Catholic school. But her dad told her, if she gets a nose job, she's going to hell.
Wow.
So, yeah. So.
Wow.
Number one, I didn't think that was going to be, that's correct. I figured I would ask Father. And how do I advise my daughter to advise her friend? In other words, they've all moved away from the church. I try to, get them back into church. But, I obviously, because of this statement, it's pushed her away from the Catholic Church. So I didn't know, is there anything that you could offer me? And even in that sense, and I get it, it's envy, but is it that much? Where do you draw the line on, is that over the top? Maybe we've been desensitized by so much cosmetic surgery.
Right, right. Well, can I ask one other question? Is the father also fallen away Catholic?
No, as far as I know, they all are Catholic. No, he's not fallen away at all.
But the friend,
I think he
the daughter
honestly
is...
believes. Yeah, well, both. Yeah.
Okay.
She's somewhat fallen away, and my daughter's somewhat fallen away.
Okay, got it. And, obviously, no. The answer is no. She's not going to hell if she gets a nose job. But it could be that there could be something else that's at work here. I mean, she's judging herself to be ugly. If you have ever, we have here in our parish of St. Patrick in Columbus, Ohio, the shrine for St. Margaret of Castello. St. Margaret of Castello, do you know anything about her? She's 13th century, I think, 14th century. Her parents, she came from a moneyed parents. She was an only daughter. She was born with a curvature of the spine, blind, and hobbled. And her parents were so ashamed of her. They had, you know, so they were some form of royalty, or related to royalty. So they were so ashamed of her that they would never let anyone see her. So they hid her in the castle. Well, one day in her late teen years, they said, "Margaret, we're going to take you to this shrine. We're going on a trip to a shrine, to a cathedral, and we're going to pray for healing for you." So they did, and they spent a number of days there at this cathedral praying for Margaret, and no healing happened. So the parents did what every parent does, right? They just packed up and left Margaret. No, not every parent does that, but they were very hateful of Margaret. They left her behind because she was an embarrassment to them because of her ugliness. Well, Margaret is now a saint. Margaret turned her despair, well, she didn't feel despair. She turned her very poor situation because she was left on the street. She was homeless. She turned it around, and she didn't do that overnight, but she did it with the grace of God. She had the grace of God in her life, as we all do. Whether we need a nose job or, in my case, a complete face job, it doesn't matter. It's what does matter is that God loves us just the way we are. So I'm not sure if this is a sin of envy or a sin of ingratitude to God for the gifts that this young woman has been given. And again, I go back to saying that she needs to thank, or we all need to thank God for the gifts that we have been given. You know, maybe she has very beautiful eyes or very beautiful hair or whatever.
She's a beautiful young lady.
There you go. And so a nose job isn't going to fix the real problem here, which is there's something deeper. There's something underneath all of this that's going on, and that's what needs to be addressed.
Boy, thank you, Father. I had a quick follow-up question. I don't know if it's on your board there, but just during the Mass when the priest says ministering to God, I guess during the consecration, I never understand what that means. How could we minister to God? I was hoping you could give me a definition of what that actually means. Not like
sure. I think it's the second Eucharistic prayer. I'm sorry? I think it's the second Eucharistic prayer that has that line in it, if I'm not mistaken. And what it means is that the way we minister to God is to praise Him, to thank Him, and most of all, to praise and thank Him by offering the sacrifice of His Son re-presented on the altar. So we minister to God by doing in obedience what Christ told us to do, which is to continue to celebrate the Eucharist, to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And in that act, we are giving the highest praise possible to God. So you minister to God by praising Him, worshiping Him, thanking Him, loving Him, all of these things that we can do to keep, to exalt God in our lives, for being God is how we minister to God. That's what that means.
I gave out a copy of Secrets from Heaven a minute ago, Helen, and I'd be happy to give a copy to you if you would like it. It's on the parables and sayings of Jesus, and all you have to do is stay on the line and give us an address, and we'll mail it out if you'd like it. Got to take a quick break. Our guest is Father Paul Jerome Keller. It's Ask a Priest this hour on Catholic Answers Live. More of that right after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, "When we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue." Her remedy? Works of charity. and the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Hey, we're offering the Hallow app to all the new Society 315 signups throughout this entire year. So if you sign up to Society 315, you get a year of the Hallow app, the very popular and for a good reason Hallow app. Just go to casociety315.com to find out more about it, or just Google Catholic Answers Society 315. We'd love you to be a member, and we'd love to give you a free Hallow app for the year. Going back to Florida, going to South Florida now. Jeremiah is in South Florida watching on YouTube. Probably got a fire on, wearing a sweater and a jacket because it's cold down there in Florida. Hi, Jeremiah.
Yeah, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for taking the call. And I'll make my question as short as possible. The situation is basically, I got a charismatic Pentecostal, Protestant Pentecostal friend, and I've been sharing the Catholic faith with him, which he seems open and very respectful about, and we get along and we pray together frequently when I do see him. The situation of tongues came up, speaking in tongues, and I told him that I think Catholics do accept speaking in tongues, at least in some sense. I don't know in the way he is doing it, which is like babbling. But this seemed to amp him up, and he got very excited and wanted to pray. And anyway, during that prayer, he was going off with it then, like, in, like, speaking in tongues and really putting, like, not in a bad way, but a lot of pressure on me to do it too. And saying he's anointing me and all this stuff, and, like, we were legit praying. And what I started thinking about during this for some reason is, I guess because it sounds like what he was doing, a little bit of the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew, a Hebrew version of it that I learned a couple years ago. And I didn't even think, would it be sinful to deceive him at the time, or I'm not even sure why I did it or what my intention was. I mean, we were legit praying, but I was like, afterwards, I guess I did try and mislead him. I guess I did try and deceive him. I'm not sure why, though. I wasn't trying to do anything malicious necessarily.
Yeah.
And I didn't, in fact, tell him I was speaking tongues. But when I did start saying, reciting the Hebrew prayer, his reaction was consistent with that's what he thought I was doing. So I never stated that. And I'm not sure if I wanted him to think that really or not. Anyway, I was like, I don't know if that was a mortal sin, like a grave matter, doing a deception during a prayer or something like that. And I went and took Eucharist the next day, and because this happened right after I got out of confession on Saturday, and something always happens after confession. So I was like, man, did I mess up? But anyway, I took the Eucharist, and I was just wondering what you thought about that, Father.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal?
Father?
Sure. Thanks, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I have to tell you, we're all in the same boat. We no sooner get out of the confessional than something happens.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because that's true in my life as well. And I know as a priest, I've heard thousands and thousands of confessions. And so I know what people feel when it's like, oh, I feel so clean. And then you get out to the parking lot and somebody says something or does something on the road. And it's like, I screwed it up again. Here's what I suggest you do. Go back to confession and be done with it. Get it off your conscience because it's bothering you. And simply say that I lied, you know, or whatever. You explain it as you wish. I'm torn. It was quasi deceitful. There's a part of me that's like, I just want to get this guy off my back. I'll pray the Our Father in Latin, or Greek or something, you know. Right. I get it. But it's bothering you. So I think, it's not as bad as you think it is in a certain sense, but there was some deceit there, and a way to get him off your back. And, I would steer clear of the subject with him in the future, but if it continues to bother you, absolutely go to confession and be done with it and enjoy our Lord's peace and mercy.
What do you think, Jeremiah?
Okay, yeah, that's great. Can I just ask real quickly, was it wrong to take the Eucharist before I went back to confession? Because I did the next day on Sunday, and maybe I should not.
If you were telling me this in confession, I would not judge it as a mortal sin. Does it seem to you that you committed a mortal sin?
I thought it might be a venial sin, and that's why I took confession, and I wasn't. I took Eucharist because I wasn't sure. Yeah. If I was sure it was a mortal sin, I would not. But I was like, you know, I really don't know. And I went ahead and took it because the reading was almost like a confirmation for me because it happened unbeknownst. It was the St. Paul reading in the Corinthians about tongues on Sunday. And I'm like, maybe that's a confirmation to go ahead and take it. So I did. But I'll still bring it to confession, like you said, Father. And I appreciate your advice. God bless you guys very much. Thank you.
Hang on, Jeremiah. Just let me finish. Let me finish with this. And because I think this is a really important point for all our listeners. And it's this, when we can get very scrupulous and worry about things, and I don't want to encourage scrupulosity at all. But if we judge something to be venial and we're not sure, we should simply make an act of contrition and go to Holy Communion. We only are barred from Holy Communion when we know when we're sure that we've committed a mortal sin. And most, I'd say 99.9% of the time, people know when they've committed a mortal sin. You don't accidentally commit a mortal sin, on the one hand. But for people who are struggling with scrupulosity, the best thing to do is say, okay, I'm going to put this in the Lord's hands and receive the Eucharist. And I don't mean to make light at all. I want to be very clear about this, about taking communion in the state of sin, because that is yet another serious sin. And I only tell you to go to confession because it's bothering you. Let's just clean it up. That's the advice St. Francis de Sales would give in his book, Introduction to the Devout Life. Something's bothering you. Go to the priest. Be done with it once and for all.
I have to say, if I may ask you, how did you learn the Our Father in Hebrew?
It was, you know, I was a problem. I'm a convert to Catholicism. I was very involved in different charismatic groups, Protestant communities, Hebrew roots communities and stuff. It's something I picked up along the way, learning it through one of these groups.
That's very cool.
Why they taught it like that, I'm not sure.
I'd like to, if you'd like... And now I feel doubly convicted in this, since you are a convert to the Catholic faith. We have this new book called The Big Book of Catholic Answers. It's 250 questions and answers about the Catholic faith. If you'd like a copy of it, Jeremiah, all you got to do is hang on the line and give us an address there in South Florida, and we'll send it off to you.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you very much. That's awesome, guys.
Well, it was very nice to get to speak with you. So hang on. We'll put you on with Luca is on the phones today, and he'll get your address, and we'll send it off to you, The Big Book of Catholic Answers. Our guest is Father Paul Jerome Keller. I looked up the temperature in South Florida. It's 75 degrees. I don't know what I was doing, but it's 75 degrees there. So that's cold for South Florida standards. But it's currently, what is it, about 4 now where you are, Father?
Let me check. It was down to 5.
It was down to 5.
It's 3. And it's minus 11 with a wind chill.
3? Oh, my goodness.
And it's going down to minus 9, which would be in the teens or 20 below. It'll feel like 20 below.
I forgot we don't have you for another hour, Father. May we have your blessing before you go?
Absolutely. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Father Paul Jerome Keller, thanks. It's always a great kick to have you here. Stay warm.
Thanks.
I sympathize with you. It's going to get down into the 50s tonight here in Southern California. So you and I is almost exactly the same thing. Coming up, Tim Staples, Ask Me Anything. If you're on the line, hang on the line. Tim will take your call right after this on Catholic Answers Live.